and great food to fuel your fun. Enjoy live sports entertainment where you're always on the winning team. Hollywood Casino St. Louis. Must be 21. Gambling problem? In Missouri, call 1-888-BETS-OFF or visit 888-BETS-OFF.org.
With summer right around the corner, now is the time to start thinking about your summer camp t-shirt orders. Winning Streak is your go-to source for all of your summer camp needs. Here are just a few reasons why you should choose Winning Streak.
Fast turnaround, a full-time art staff to make sure your designs look great, and quality printing done on site in Dupo, Illinois.
Contact Winning Streak for all your summer camp shirt needs. Visit winning-streak.com to learn more or call 888-570-6194 and be sure to ask them about their special camp program.
Vincent Mortgage saves you money. Hi, I'm Sean Vincent, President and CEO of Vincent Mortgage. It always seems right after the holiday season, many of us are short on cash when it comes time to pay those monthly bills. Whether it's mounting debt or the need to do repairs and upgrades on your home, finding the money in your home's increasing value is a great answer. Call the name you know and trust, Vincent Mortgage, 314-839-9999, or visit VincentMortgage.com to chat live and let's work together to achieve your goals for 2018. Vincent Mortgage saves you money. NMLS number 225095, 12801 Flushing Meadows Drive, St. Louis.
I know a lot about Sharp City.
And it's great.
Whether you're looking to fillet up a Dover sole or slice into your favorite cattleman's cut, the folks over at Bertarelli Cutlery know all the ins and outs about how to get your kitchen knives as sharp as the dickens. Family owned and operated for over 50 years, Bertarelli Cutlery offers St. Louis's finest knife sharpening services, as well as having all the gadgets and gizmos for your kitchen needs. So head on down to Bertarelli Cutlery on the Hill, visit them on Facebook or online at BertarelliCutlery.com.
PT's Country Rock Cabaret,
where the benefits are pretty obvious.
It's where beer and sporting events go hand in hand with beautiful women. If you get off work during that crossing of the bridge traffic mess, then come into PT's and relax, de-stress, and eat dinner, because a fantastic steak and fries meal is only $7.99. Let those other guys sit in traffic while you enjoy exotic dancers, sports on big screen TVs, and an ice cold beverage. Visit the best strip club in the St. Louis area, and don't forget, you can catch every pay-per-view UFC fight with the confidence you'll be a winner,
one way or the other.
PT's Country Rock Cabaret is located just minutes from downtown St. Louis, so if that convention or expo is bringing you down, it's time to rise and smile at PT's Country Rock Cabaret in Sauget next to Pop's Concert Venue. Free admission before 6 p.m., only $6 before 8 p.m., and never more than $12 after 8 p.m. Don't sit at home watching the game. Be in the game at PT's Country Rock Cabaret.
Grab your coat and get your hat. Leave your worries. Just direct your feet to Sunnyside Street. Can't you hear a pitter-patter? And that happy tune is your step. Life can be so sweet.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
On Sunnyside Street.
Boy.
I used to walk in the shade.
Did anybody else hear yodeling?
With those blues.
I'm sorry now. I think I heard a sick cow. That's real funny.
This rover.
Funny.
What is your name, sir?
I am Bill Buttlicker. Really, that's your real name? How dare you? My family built this country, by the way.
Bill Buttlicker.
I'll be rich as Remember that.
Work well on this show.
Gold dust at my feet. On the sunny side of the street.
I hate it when this happens, right? You know, it never happens till just when you're ready to go on the air. And my microphone, it's like, I don't know, I'm getting one ear of it. Not both ears. Whatever. We'll deal with it during the first break. Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome aboard. Welcome to Large Morning Show in the afternoon on this April 17th, 2018. All the votes are in. The votes are in before the show ended yesterday. We took votes on the Dr. Doug segment, which will be on tomorrow. And it ran when it was all over about 60-40. About 60% said, yes, let's continue with Dr. Doug. Well, and what we're going to do, starting tomorrow, we're going to have Dr. Doug do a little monologue. Just something he thinks that he wants to address regarding pets. And then we'll take calls. That way, the procrastinators who like to wait 5 minutes till after we give the phone numbers can go ahead and call and get on the screen. And when Dr. Doug is finished, he can go. But it's about 60-40, so that's enough for me to say, even after all these years and many of the same questions, most people have pets and they love their pets and they want to continue that segment. So that's what we're going to do. I'm tempted to wait and save what I want to do now till later, but I'm so excited about it and I want to hear it that I think we should probably do it now. Let me quickly introduce everybody around the room here at the control board. It's Limey Phillips. Limestone, say hi to everyone.
Hello, everyone.
In the glass booth, Dan Strauss. Dan, say hello to everybody.
Hello, everyone.
In a league of his own, don't know how else to introduce him, Tim Woodburn. Tim, say hello to everybody.
Hello to everybody.
All right. Now, yesterday, Limey referenced a joke that I think you said, Limestone, you wondered if I knew the joke.
And, I did.
And I did know the joke.
You did.
Of course I knew the joke. And then we agreed that you would tell the joke today. And I enjoy hearing other people tell jokes. When they're good and when they're bad, I still enjoy it. So would you tell the joke that we talked about yesterday that you wondered if I knew? Would you like to tell? All right, this is going to be good. this only happened once before, and it was right after we went on the air, like a month or two. Here with a joke is Limey Phillips. It's all yours. The stage is yours.
Thank you very much, Frank.
You're welcome.
So, this joke takes place over in the Far East, over in the desert, right? There is a group of Al-Qaeda making their way across the desert. You know, they're feeling pretty good about themselves, feeling like they're pretty strong and confident. So, they're making their way through, and all of a sudden, from over across a sand dune, they hear,
"Hey, you guys suck!"
I'm like, whoa, what the heck is going on here? Somebody is insulting us? This is ridiculous. And they hear this again.
Hey, come over here, I'll kick your ass.
They're wondering, well, who is this person? So the leader of the terrorist group says to two people, hey, go over that dune and see what this guy is talking about. Like, who the hell does he think he is? So they go over, and about 30 seconds later, all they hear is punching, yelling, screaming, ah, help me, ah! And then there's nothing, just silence. So the the leader of the terrorists is there and he's waiting and he's like, what was that? What's going on? Who, like did you hear that? There's nothing. And then all of a sudden, after the couple seconds, they hear,
is that the best you can do? Come on, show me what you got.
So the leader says to himself, all right, let's see what's going on over there. So he sends over 10 terrorists over this dune. And again, all he hears is boom, crash, people screaming, shouting, like, you know, crying for their mother, for all this wonderful stuff. And then there's just silence again. And they're thinking, hang on a second, what's going over there? So the leader shouts over, hey, who are you? And the guy goes,
I'm a United States Marine.
She's like, all right, okay, so we got a Marine on our hands, fine. That's like nothing. So, all right, they send over 50 terrorists over the dune. And again, all they hear is screaming, shouting, punching, yelling, crying, people praying to God, hoping for mercy and forgiveness. And then silence. And the leader of the terrorists is just there by himself, and he's starting to get a little worried now. I mean, come on, there's a Marine guy over there who's just beat like 65 people on his own. And then all of a sudden, he sees this single member of his group, a single terrorist, just climbing over the dune, and he's beaten to a bloody pulp. He's got snot coming out of his eyes, blood running down his face. I mean, he's just been whooped like you would not believe. And the leader runs up to him and he says, what's the matter? Are you okay? What's going on? And the man says, he lied. He wasn't by himself. There were two Marines. And that's it.
I have to tell you that, to me, Where you shined in that joke was your sound effects. Oh. I don't mean the gunshots. I mean your own. And then you did that little scuffle. The sound. Do that again. The sound of them scuffling over the hill.
The sound of them scuffling.
Oh, man. You know what, Limestone? That was pretty good. We had sort of made a decision that since I'm not... Hang on here. I think I found out what was wrong. Yeah, I did. I just fixed it. I fixed what was wrong with my mic. We made a decision that since I'm not here Thursday, Scott Sherman will be. And I was going to record a joke, and then you just play it Thursday since I'm not here. I'm about halfway... ready to decide that you should tell the joke Thursday.
Whoa.
No, I'm serious. Wow. This is a huge honor. I hope you realize. Wow. This is a gigantic honor here.
Are you serious?
No, I could not be more serious, Randy.
No, I
can't
say it. Are you serious?
Randy, I don't like the girl voice, okay? Don't try to do the girl voice thinking we won't know who you are. We know who you are, Randy.
Who's that?
That was good. That was well done.
This is
that
an incredible really... honor. Now, is this a joke I have to come up with myself?
Dan Strauss has worked with me for 35 years. Dan, how often have I asked somebody else to tell a joke?
Not often.
Not very often.
Wow. At all.
Never that I can remember.
The heat is on.
I
thought maybe someone else at one point.
Maybe once in 35 years.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I can't remember. So, Limestone, here's the deal. If you want to give some thought, you have till Thursday, to another joke you'd like to tell. I'd be happy to let you do that. You can use the joke fly girls. I've already asked them. I said, you know, they said it's a union thing, but we've got an attorney here did a little waiver, so they can come out. Ooh, that's nice. You know, for you,
I would love
let
that.
You set of.
I am speechless right now. I feel honored.
What's the attorney's name?
I'm sorry?
What's the attorney's name that okayed that?
He is a foreign name. His last name is Dickham.
Who's that?
Les Dickham.
Les Dickham. Les Dickham. Okay.
Yeah. Les Dickham, attorney at law.
Yeah.
I say it's a done deal. I say Thursday, folks, you look forward to a joke by the one and only Limestone Phillips.
Wow. Pressure's on, buddy. Pressure is on. I got you.
This is big. This is going to be good. So, we've introduced everybody. Before we get to the Burke segment, how many here are familiar with this kid who's getting all this attention, this yodeling kid?
I'm pretty familiar with him.
Oh, I saw something on YouTube. I only watched it one time where he was in the store and just started yodeling.
I'm the only person who's going to do this. Nobody else would ever do this because it could be taken the wrong way. This kid is not even, he's barely mediocre as a singer. And for the life of me, I don't know why he's getting this attention. I'm going to play you a little of him singing a song written by Hank Williams called Lovesick Blues. I've only heard him sing two songs, and I went on YouTube and checked him out. I've seen him do two songs. And the one he did on Ellen and the one he did in Walmart is Lovesick Blues. It's been recorded by a lot of people. Even those of you who don't know country music have probably heard the song. Dad, do you know the song Lovesick Blues?
Yeah, I do.
I got a feeling called the blues. Oh, lovesick, my baby, say goodbye. And that's not even a yodeling song. They're calling this guy the yodel. I've never heard the kid yodel. And all of this, he'll do a little. I don't know what you do when we call it when you do that thing. That one little flip, and he'll go. I don't know. All I do is sit and cry. That's as close as he's come to yodeling. Now, to me, if you're going to call a kid the yodeling kid, he ought to sing a song where, and we've all heard them, Riders in the Sky is a good example of a group, Sons of the Pioneers, where they'll do a song, and there's a stretch of the song where it's, that kind of thing. So I want you to listen to this kid, and I cannot be the only person, he's 11 years old, I can't be the only person that's reaction is just, are you kidding me? That kid's not that good. Look, Jackie Ivanko, fantastic.
Yeah.
These kids that they have on, America's Got Talent. Yeah, Jackie Ivanko, oh my goodness, you can't believe what you're listening to. And I've seen other kids that just, they stunned you when they sang. Not this kid. This kid sings like most any 11-year-old could sing. I hate to be mean, but here he is. This is the let me turn this. I think I hope I can make this work on my end. Here we go.
Lord, I don't know what I do. All I do is say goodbye. Oh Lord, that last song, did she said goodbye? Well Lord, I thought I would cry. She do me, she do you, she's got that kind of loving. Lord, I'd love to hear when she calls me sweet. Daddy, such a beautiful day.
Yeah, his little yodel flips are okay, but he's off key. I mean, he's not even on key through the whole song. And I'm not even a musician or singer. I don't even know anything, but I can hear when somebody's a little bit off. Now, here he is. He's doing Hey Good Looking. Another.
My name is Mason Ramsey, and I'm from Golconda, Illinois, and like to sing in the shopping cart and hope to be on the Grand Ole Opry.
Okay, well, good luck with that.
Hey, good looking.
Oh, my goodness.
What you got cooking? How's about cooking something up with me? Hey, sweet baby. Don't you think maybe we can find us a brand new recipe?
Sounds like a kid singing.
I got hot fried four dinner, $2 bill. Nine was five round over the hill. There's a pop in the dancing three, so if you want to have fun, come along.
Oh, my goodness, how hurts my ears. I'm not kidding. Is that like a shriek, a shrill?
I was about cooking something up with me. I'm free.
Okay, thank you, Mason.
Is
it just me? He's not even really on key all the time. And he's cute, and it's okay. But it's nothing like these kids we see discovered on these shows like these Jackie Ivankos. Who was that other one before Jackie Ivanko? There was another kid.
I don't remember.
Maybe not. It was 10 and sounded like she was 40 when she sang.
Oh, yeah.
He sounds like a kid singing who's okay.
What's impressive about this kid is that he's singing some very classic country. You got Hank Williams and then... Yeah.
Well, he's obviously from a family where that's, you know, that's what he's familiar with.
Yeah.
That was it. Maybe I am the only one. Maybe everybody else goes, well, Frank, come on, man. I get it. But I just expected. I saw him, I forgot where it was. It was one of these news type shows. I don't know.
On
Extra or something.
Oh, right.
And so then when I heard he was on Ellen, I went and YouTubed the Ellen performance, and I'm ready. I'm in front of the screen. I'm thinking, okay, man, this is going to be great. This kid's going to knock my socks off. No, just a kid singing, you know. So that's
when
it.
I don't know. He just started singing at Walmart.
No, I think the story is
they were all set
his,
up.
They wanted to make a video, and he wanted to sing somewhere public to get over nerves or something like that. So one of his parents video recorded it and then stuck it online. And, of course, it went viral because somebody's doing something silly in Walmart. And now, next thing you know, he's performed at Coachella. He's been on the Ellen
Show. Yes, that's
right.
He was at Coachella.
Yeah, he was at Coachella.
I love YouTube. I spend a lot of time on YouTube. And I've seen kids on YouTube doing things, singing. I think, my goodness, you got to be kidding me. How are you not discovered? And they're 10 times better than this kid.
They didn't do it at Walmart.
Next time I'm at Walmart, I'm just going to break out into
maybe
song.
That's the secret.
Seriously.
No, that's the secret. Dan, take your bass guitar and go to Walmart.
You
that's
should.
The key.
The Seventh Planet Band should set up at Walmart. Next thing, well, in a month, you'll be on Ellen.
And just start playing.
Why not? I tell the truth around the room. Tim, is he that good? I mean, really, to your ears?
No.
Tell
the truth. No BS. You're a better yodeler than him.
but I'm not 11 years old. I mean, he's a kid, but as a kid, he's not 6. He's 11.
On a scale of 1 to 10.
But does he deserve... No. My question, I guess, is he that good that he deserves all this attention?
I'd give your yodeling an 8, and I'd give his a 3. See?
Thank you.
Well, next time we go to the store, we'll go into Walmart or Target or wherever you want to go.
Plug your amp in.
We'll plug the amp in and we'll start doing something and we'll video you yodeling. And then we'll put it on YouTube.
That's going to explode on social media.
Limestone, do you think he's that good that he deserves this kind of thing? I mean, is he that good? It's just me.
He's not a very talented singer. I'll give him maybe a few more years. I think it's just the fact that he did something relatively cute, kind of embarrassing. That's why he's so famous right now.
I guess. But again, look, folks, go to YouTube and just search talented kids singing. You're going to come up with all kinds of kids who make this kid look like a joke. And he's probably a great little kid. But nobody ever does what I'm doing because it's, ooh, somehow it's seen as you're a mean old man. No, I'm not. I'm just a truth teller.
You are a bit mean
sometimes. If his parents came to me and goes, what do you think? I'd go, I think your kid sounds like about 16,000 other 11-year-old kids. That's what I think. He's okay. He's not great. And I don't know how he got on Ellen, quite frankly.
Hang on a second. Here's a perfect example of you actually being a mean, grumpy old man. Because, you know, everybody knows, right? And if they don't, Taylor Nickerson, our Taylor on Tech guy, is, what is he? Oh, never mind.
He's a teacher?
No, he's a teacher. No, that's right. He was, his wife is pregnant, so they're going to have a baby shower. Right. And, you know, everybody else was like, yeah, you know, I can't make it. I'm a little bit busy. But what was your reply, Frank, when you asked if you could make it to the diaper party or something like that?
Hang on. First of all, wasn't that supposed to be a surprise? Is it over? Have you just blown the lid off?
Wait, no, it is. No, wait. It's already been, right?
Oh.
You better hope so. Oh.
No, I haven't.
It was coming up this Saturday.
Shut up.
No,
way to
kidding.
Go.
Psych.
No, it was already.
It was this past Saturday.
I felt like.
Damn, are you sure?
Yes, I'm positive.
Frank's changing the subject on you is what Frank's doing.
No, I'm positive it was.
Okay. So I get an invitation from, I've never met Taylor's wife, but I get an invitation from her. It's an email, and it's to a diaper party. It's a for men. It's a diaper party thrown for him as the soon-to-be dad.
Yeah.
So I wrote her back and I said, you know, I won't be in town that Saturday. But even if I were, I would never go to a diaper party. I don't get it. I don't understand it, and it's just something I wouldn't do, but thank you very much for the invitation. So I was polite when I ended it. You know, thank you, I appreciate it, but I wouldn't go if I lived next door to you.
Oh,
I wouldn't go.
That's so
I'm not
mean,
going
isn't
to
it?
A diaper party. It's
that's
not mean. I'm just not. You know, let me tell you something. The whole time I've been married, my wife has accused me forever of being rude and mean. There's a difference between rude and mean, and there's a difference
Come
between
on.
Rude and mean and just telling the truth. I could have said, oh boy, I would love to come, but I've got a conflict. No, I just don't want to go. I don't want to go to a diaper party. It's just something, the sound of it. No, thank you. We've for years been invited to like go to somebody's house and I'll say, nah, thanks, but no.
But Limey's,
so.
Limey's point though, Frank, is that you had two options in responding. You could have said, hey, you know what? I'd love to, but I'm rearranging my sock drawer that day and I won't be able to make it. But instead you said, I wouldn't even come if I lived next door to you.
Well, that was a bit much. That might have been a bit. But all I meant by that was I don't get a guy going to a diaper party or a shower for the baby.
I'll tell you why.
I don't get it.
I'll tell you why. I went to one, and it's because my buddy, who listens to the show, I might add, doesn't make a lot of money, and he's a single dad. And so,
well, that okay. I
and
get
so
that.
And so, diapers are expensive. I've never had kids. When I went and bought diapers for that diaper party, I was like, "Holy cow!"
Yeah, I know.
I was going in thinking I'm going to be bringing a 60-pack, and I brought like an 8-pack. You know, and so they're expensive, and that was the reason why.
Yeah.
Now, if I knew that a couple was really financially strapped, I would help. I just wouldn't go to the diaper party. I just send over like 18 cases of diapers or something.
Well, Frank.
But he's not strapped for money.
No.
Look at, he makes a fortune doing that segment here on this show.
We've
just
got
on that segment on the show, the guy could live a really good life.
We have got a surprise for you because your wife and your daughter and myself and a few other people are putting together a diaper party for you.
For the diapers I need to wear.
Yes. Yeah, it all depends.
Now, listen, I know that is funny. That's funny. But here's why it's
depends.
Sort of funny and not funny is I'm kind of dealing with this this condition. And one of the things that you can opt for as treatment is have your prostate taken out.
Yeah.
So the problem with that, and I just met a guy last week, and I don't know how it came. My wife must have said something. And he said, I had a prostatectomy. And I said, you had the whole prostate taken out? He said, yeah. And I said, man, I don't want to be too personal, but I'm real curious about it. And he said, the answer is no, I don't have to wear diapers. He said, but I got very lucky. It is not uncommon for guys for the rest of their lives to have to wear diapers. Now, if that's the worst thing that happened to you, is that you had to wear diapers from the time you were, I don't know, whatever, till you die, okay.
Well, isn't...
I guess you, it's not like a colostomy bag or
well,
something.
Well, isn't, no, like, isn't when you have your prostate removed, like an elderly age, doesn't that, like, you know... ixnay on it with the erections, like you can't get
an
erection ever again?
It depends on how.
Yeah, it depends on what all was damaged in the surgery. But yes, that is another. And some guys get the double whammy. They have to wear diapers and they can't get a bone.
No.
Well, some guys get that pump. Boy. Remember that guy that used to call that puts the, put the pump in?
The penile pump. It's a pump. It's a little, anyone who doesn't like medical graphic descriptions should tune away now.
Yeah.
It's a pump. It's implanted in your scrotum. Oh. And essentially it shoots air into the, veins.
Yeah.
And where there's no blood and you reach down and just and then it stays that way as long as you want. And then there's a little release.
Yeah, and then you fly around the room.
Like a balloon.
Yeah.
That'd be funny. Ooh, honey, that was great. Let's have a cigarette. Yeah. Cigarette, but first.
I wonder if they make the model that shoots glitter.
Oh, glitter.
I don't know, but that guy called us. He said it was the greatest. I mean, he made it sound so good. It's like you almost wanted to have it done even if you didn't need it.
Yeah.
Because he said anytime, anywhere, she's in the mood, ready to go.
And he said the sensation was there for him.
Oh, yeah. You still feel everything.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's good then. I figured he'd just like, you know.
But no, I will agree that saying, you know, I don't want to go, and even if I were like next door, I wouldn't go. It's just not my thing. I don't want to go to diaper. That doesn't sit well with most people. And I believe it. But I appreciate from other people just flat out blatant honesty instead of dancing around, beating around the bush, making up some excuse. Well, I would love to go. I can't believe I'm going to miss that. No, I don't want to go to that.
So Frank sends out an email. Hey, we're having a Christmas party. And everybody goes, go to hell, go to hell, go to hell.
No. You know what I would expect as a response? Can't come, not going to come, don't want to come, whatever. Just get to it. We've never thrown a party. I've never had a birthday party. I don't do parties. I don't like parties. Other people's parties... I would say I don't like my own parties. We don't have any parties. We've never had a New Year's Eve party or a Christmas party.
What if you what if you were invited to a wedding or a christening?
I can't stand weddings. I can't stand them. No, I can't stand them. And here's why I can't. I've been to maybe 6 weddings in my entire life. One was my own son, and then a couple of others that were just such good friends that you couldn't not go because it would just devastate them if you didn't go. Wait, hold on here. I've got. I can't stand them because they're all exactly the same. There may be minor changes, but it's the same exact wedding, everyone you go to. There's that thing before the wedding that some people go to, whatever that's called. It's like a rehearsal thing. Then there's the actual wedding. And then some people don't really go to the wedding because it's boring. Okay, and they run out, and people used to throw rice, but now you can't do that anymore because it kills birds or something. So then they have the reception, and that's what most people really want to go to anyway because anything for a party. So they go to the reception. And here's every single reception. There's band, and people are mingling, and then at some point somebody gets up and that's the microphone. Everybody, have your attention, everybody. And people kind of settle down, but the ones that have had too much to drink are still kind of talking. And I'm Jim's brother. And I just want to say, I would like to propose a toast to my big brother, who we thought would never get married. Everybody laughs like that's really funny. And he used to bring, let me just tell you a quick story, everybody. He brought a few girls home, and we thought, oh, man, if that's the best you can do, you might as well go gay. But then he brought Sheila here home. We knew the minute he brought her. And then the guys had just stuff to drink. He starts getting teared up, and he goes, we knew the minute that he brought her home and we met her. This was a girl that was going to be part of our family for the rest of our lives. And Sheila, welcome to the family. And everybody, yeah. And then another clown gets up, and this guy is, he's the brother of the bride or something. He gets up and goes, hey, excuse me. I just want to say something about my kid's sister, Sheila. You know, she had a lot of boyfriends. In fact, it's like she had a boyfriend. It seemed like a date every night of the week. She had a date, and we just thought, well, she's never going to find anybody. She likes playing the field. But then this guy came. This guy right here came along, and I'm talking about you. I'm talking about you, Tom.
I don't know what happened.
I don't know. I'm sorry. I don't know what happened, Jim. But somehow, Jim, out of all the guys she dated, well, he's drunk. He forgot the guy's name.
Yeah.
His own brother-in-law. He forgot his name. He says, and man, she came home after the first date with you, and she was just a different person. She just had some kind of a glow or something. And I don't want to know the details of what happened on that date. Ha, 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 everybody. I just want you to know that, hey, man, we love you, man. Welcome to the family. And now my dad's going to have an extra set of hands to help rebuild that 57 Chevy. And I'd be sitting there just vomiting because I this is the same speech.
But would you like everybody. It if right at the end he says, and if you ever hurt my sister Sheila, I will hunt you down and kill you. That would be cool.
That's been done. That's been one part of the speeches. And then there's the mother-daughter dance, and everybody,
yeah. The mother-daughter.
Mother-daughter.
Father-daughter dance?
What kind of wedding are you going to?
Well, it could be mother-daughter.
That would be pretty good, actually. Hey,
I'm sorry. It's the father-daughter dance, and then, of course, I don't know. I'm a weird guy.
The father-son dance.
No, thank you. Now you got something. The father-son waltz. Now you got something.
Well, if I ever get married again, I'll just, you know.
Don't invite Frank.
Yeah, don't invite Frank. I'll invite everybody else. Or I'll just get a cardboard cutout of Frank, and I'll just put it there in pictures.
Well, I've lost friends. I've actually lost friends because of just my blatant or semi-rude response to things. I had a guy years ago who told me his son was getting married, and I said, well, you do know not to invite me. And he said, yeah, I know. He said, I know how you are. I said, I can't stand weddings. I'm happy for your son. I'm not going to that wedding. They sent an invitation anyway because they wanted a gift. They sent an invitation. Now, I made it clear, and I responded, RSVP, no, won't be attending. And then they got mad because the gift didn't arrive within a certain amount of time. And that kind of pretty much ended the friendship.
What did you get?
And funerals.
Hedge trimmer.
Toaster.
Vacuum cleaner.
My wife got a gift certificate to, I don't know, Nordstrom or whatever the heck it was. But funerals are the same way. I don't like funerals. I think funerals are, in a way, barbaric, and I think they're beyond depressing. And I don't want to see somebody in a box who's not really there. I want to remember whoever it was at their best, and you can call it anything you want, but I do not go. The last funeral I went to, I can't even remember. And I think maybe I've done five or six of those. That's it. I just don't like it. I don't want to be part of it. I would go to somebody's celebration of life if somebody's going to throw a little get together and get up and tell stories about somebody we all liked. I can do that, but I'm not doing the casket thing. I just, not for me. And funerals, I know that's weird. Most people, an excuse for free food and booze and music and dancing. And I don't understand, really, most of the live bands at wedding receptions. unless they're good. But I've seen videos of some weddings where the bands were just so god-awful. They were horrible. Why wouldn't they just play great music off of...
have a DJ?
Like a CD player.
Yeah, and play tremendous music. Have a DJ. As opposed to a band that's usually pretty limited in what they can do, and they're not going to make everybody happy with their music, where you can with a DJ. You can play for the older people, Glenn Miller, and they let them get out there, and then you can play Hootie for the 80s crowd. You can mix it up and kind of make everybody happy. I don't know. And then there are always the people that get embarrassingly drunk, and I don't know what that's about. It's because it's an open bar, and they make fools of themselves, and they get up and say something stupid, or somebody gets mad. I don't know. I know. I'm weird. It's me. It is me. But back to the kid, and we'll close it out. I've heard lots of kids sing who are 10 times better, but this kid and his parents or whatever are smart. And they knew how to get him some publicity. Do I think he's going to go anywhere like Jackie Vacco did? No. I think this is it. This is his 15 minutes. And I'm not one to judge talent because I don't have any talent in music. But I, like most people, can hear. And what I hear is just an 11-year-old kid who's lucky he's getting all this attention. And I doubt seriously he'll go anywhere. I hope I'm wrong for his sake.
I was going to say, there is a friend of mine that has a tremendous wedding band, and I would highly recommend them to anyone getting married, and it's called Mirage. They are absolutely fantastic.
Well, if my daughter gets married and wants a band, she'll have a band. She'll have whatever she wants. I've tried my best to set the stage with her that wedding money is, for the most part, wasted money. And that's my other problem with weddings, is 50% of them don't last, and it is an absolute waste of money. But I will waste money for my daughter. If my daughter wants whatever wedding she wants a $100,000 wedding, if that's what she really wants, then that's what she'll get, because I know better than to fight it. I'm wasting my time and energy, because when she and mom get together and somebody else whose daughter got married that they knew, it's over, man. You don't have a chance. It's over. Just roll over and go with it. But I don't think that's going to happen. I think it'll be a destination wedding. I think it'll be nice. I think there'll be a reasonable number of people there, but I don't think it's going to be anything so over the top. I got to go to First Community Credit Union and take out a 30-year loan to do it. But she's my daughter, and I'll do whatever she wants to do. And she knows that. So it's really kind of up to her. I'm going to set up to her and her mom. I don't want her mom to have too much to do with it at all, or we'll never have a home to live in. We'll have to sell that to pay for the wedding. So that's the other thing, is I just think it's so much of it is, you know, these people that spend huge money on a cake. Not long ago, we had some prices on these cakes. You start spending thousands of dollars on a cake. What are you, out of your mind? Are you kidding me? The cake's not going to last, and probably the wedding, the marriage won't even last. I think what you do is, when they make it 20 years, then you throw a big party and spend some money to celebrate the fact that they made it 20 years. I also think that everybody should be thrown a celebration party when they hit 55. Everybody who turns 55, all of their friends should get together and surprise them with a celebration of that person's life, rather than wait until they're dead. Because when they're dead, they're not there to see all the nice things that everybody has. To get up and tell stories, but do it like a roast. Only, does that make sense? Only positive, and the guest of honor is the person who just turned, make it 60, just turned 60.
Seeming like somebody gets up and talks about them, but it actually speaks about the real person
tell
they were.
Tell great stories that people might not have known, something this person did that other people don't know about, that's just truly remarkable. Just positive things to make this person realize that at 60, the life wasn't wasted. And there are lots of people who appreciate what this person has done for the 60 years that he or she has been on the earth. I think that'd be great, but it's never going to happen. Never going to happen. People only do that when somebody's dead, and I think that's a shame. You know, it's like the people that go, well, Mom, Dad, we'd love to come for your anniversary, but I'm just so busy. Yet, miraculously, if they die, they find a way to make it to the funeral after it's too late. They can pull that off, but they're just too busy. One thing I will never be guilty of, and I've said this many, many times, is not spending enough time with my wife and my kids. I spend My goodness. And have spent lots of time. So my deathbed, I'm never going to have to say, man, I wish I'd spent more time with my kids. But lots of people do say that. And I don't think you'll ever hear anybody who's dying say, boy, I wish I'd just made a couple of more business deals or opened a couple of more locations. They're not going to do that. That's not going to be a dying wish if they could go back and change anything. All right, enough of that. Let me do a little business. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Maybe some Burke segment. Dan Buffa is in the green room getting all prettied up, and he's going to come talk about movies. I need to send you to buy a car, those of you who need a car. Some of you are driving around in 15-year-old cars. I understand that. You're smart. You get your money's worth out of a car. I have a friend who drives a Honda. I want to say it's not a Civic. It's
Accord.
No, it's more of a little tiny SUV thing. It has 300,000 miles. I saw this car the other day, and I just said to him, I said, Bob, I said, how many miles you got in your car? And he got in it, looked at the odometer, he goes, 310,000. I thought, wow. I said, there's a guy who gets his money's worth out of a car. But there's a guy, too, who's probably due for a new car. So, look, if you're like that guy, or if you're somebody who likes to trade every year, and if you can afford it, more power to you. Trading every year or two, there's nothing like a new car. But some people don't care about that. They don't care about new car smell. They don't care about brand new. They care about value. They care about getting their money's worth and getting the most they can for their money. So they buy pre-owned. Pre-owned cars in great condition. And at Johnny Londoff, they have plenty of those. And if they don't have what you're looking for, they'll find it. And many of them now come with a lifetime, I believe that's what he said, lifetime powertrain warranty. I don't know which vehicles those are. You'll have to check on that. But they'll get you what you're looking for if they don't have it. And, of course, Chevys. You want a new Chevy? Well, which one? What color? What options? They got about 1,000 cars up there. Doesn't look like it from the highway. Believe me, they do. This is a terrific dealership, and there's a reason they've been very successful for all these years, only selling one line, and that's Chevrolet. Johnny Londoff Chevrolet, the Washington Elizabeth exit off Interstate 270, and of course, any time of the day or night at Londoff.com.
That was my fault. What? I'm supposed to hit the traffic there.
The traffic music, and we hit the let's all go to the lobby.
Okay, so
let's all go to the roadways.
Could we just repeat, please? Could you just end the Johnny Londoff thing?
Let's all go to the roadways.
No, no, we're going to edit all that out.
Thank you.
That would be very embarrassing for you. And if somebody heard that who may be scouting from another station, you'd never get a job. Mm. So we're going to edit that out. Here we go. And, of course, any time of the day or night at Londoff.com.
And now, a look at traffic with Tory Lyons.
Traffic's brought to you by Texas D Brazil. Emergency bridge work eastbound 255 on the Illinois side of the JV Bridge. Only the right lane is open. Traffic stacking up at 270, and that's going to continue to be closed through Thursday, according to the DOT. Otherwise, light volume across your bi-state region. Texas D Brazil, now open in St. Louis Galleria. Dine on endless selections of flame-grilled beef, lamb, pork, chicken, with a gourmet salad area featured seasonal chef-crafted items. Visit TexasDayBrazil.com. Reserve your Brazilian dining experience. I'm Tory Lyons, reporting for 590 The Fan. Now back to the Large Morning Show in the afternoon.
Blue Chip was started by Scott and Pat Phillips with little more than a Volkswagen Beetle, a little bit of luck, and a whole lot of work. Since then, Blue Chip has grown into one of the nation's largest and most recognized pest control firms while still being the hometown St. Louis company. Now moving into our third generation, Blue Chip is just as focused with a commitment to training and professionalism that are unmatched in our industry. We are experts at what we do, which simply put is protecting your home, your business, and your family. Go to STLBugs.com to learn more.
Who's ready for super premium fresh halibut imported daily from Alaska, grilled in an extra virgin olive oil with capers, lemon, mushrooms, and Greek oregano? Ask for it supreme style with colossal lump crab meat steamed in a champagne-based cream. That's how it's done at Surf and Sirloin, located on eastbound Manchester Road just west of 270. Open for lunch and dinner 6 days a week and serving USDA prime beef, the top 2% of any meat sold in the country. Check out their menu online at surfandsirloin.com.
right, this is a good sign. I didn't even give the phone numbers. We got calls. Let's see if we get a couple of them in here. Keith's been holding a long time. Keith, how are you? Keith?
Buddy?
Yeah,
yes,
there
I'm
you
here.
Keith, what's going on?
Hey, well, I have something to ask each and every one of you guys there. I don't have to start around the circle, starting with you, Frank. After all, you are the head of the household there, not only at home, but at work here.
I guess so, you could say that.
Do you remember back in about 94, 95, you used to start off the program, this is when you used to, the KSD downtown on Market Street, you used to start off your early morning program with a, like Mr. Ed and different sound effects or something like that. Do you still have that? I don't know if you remember that or not.
I don't remember that.
It started off as a, hello, I'm Mr. Ed. Then it had some other things that went along with it, some little sound clips that you use. And I was just thinking about that one time, that's when I first started listening to your program. You used to start off your show
you know
that
what,
way.
Outside of jokes and remembering jokes, I have a terrible memory. That does not even ring a bell with me. I'm sorry.
Well, maybe some other long-time listeners might remember that, but I remember distinctly because I used to, at my old job, I used to wake up kind of early in the morning, and I think you started, didn't you start like 5 or 6 in the morning or something like that?
Started at 6.
Yeah, that's about the time I woke up, and it started off the program. This is probably, I don't know how long you use your Willie theme song, but it seemed like that you use this. It's just different sound bits, and one of them was Mr. Ed saying, hello, I'm Mr. Ed.
Well, I'm sorry. I don't remember any of that. So what else do you want to ask everybody else?
Well, next, I talked to Dan last Saturday, and I saw his band. I got the best of three things. His band, the Pernikoff Brothers, and, of course, Tim Reynolds. I just thoroughly enjoyed the whole evening there. Well, Dan, you're a pretty good bass player, brother.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Keith.
And, I'll tell you what, the Pernikoff Brothers, all you listeners out there, if you've never had the chance to hear those guys, they just blew my socks off. I really enjoyed those guys immensely. I got to meet the dad, Doug Pernikoff. He was wonderful and just a nice guy. Everything that I pictured him to be, you know.
Yeah.
Miami, I have in my possession a bunch of sound effects down in the basement, but they're all cassettes, and I wish I could pass off a bunch of them for you to use. I'm a sound effects guy. Since I've been listening to Three Stooges way back when, I'm a big Three Stooges fanatic.
Very cool.
I can wish there was some way I can pass off a lot of those to you.
Well, if you can ever figure out a way to at least like maybe get them on a CD or something, let me know.
Yeah,
Miami still has about 400 in this machine he hasn't mastered yet. So.
Well, I'll tell you what, the one I haven't heard in a while. I know you always use idiots. Where is the other one? This is. I think it's Chris Farley, who says, "What an idiot!" Have you got that one somewhere?
Yeah, I think you're right. It is Chris Farley saying that.
It's in there somewhere. It'll eventually surface.
Yeah. What an idiot!
Oh no, that's like Bugs Bunny,
Limey.
I think.
I love
Way
that.
To go,
one.
Limey.
I think that's Bugs Bunny.
I got
Bunny.
About 30 seconds. What else
okay,
you got, Keith?
Real quickly, Tim.
Yep.
You mentioned way back at the beginning of the year, a good buddy of ours passed away, Tim Benson.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's a real close friend of my brother's, and that was real. We were all shocked at that too. When I meant to call in some time ago back, but he was a good close friend of my brother's. But just miss everybody. But anyhow, enjoy your show. I am AM into PM.
Hallelujah.
And thanks for taking my call. I will chat up with you all later on. Be listening.
All right, we appreciate it. I'm gonna go to Mark just in that time to tell Mark that Keith took all his time. Hey, Mark, I got 30 seconds, and we'll call you back if you want us to. What's up?
Oh, did we lose
Mark?
Mark?
Mark must have hung up.
I don't blame him. Yeah. I don't blame him. We made him wait. Made him wait forever. All right, we didn't get to the Burke segment, but maybe we will in the Playhouse. If anybody has anything important to add, I don't mind if they push it in there. Dan Buffa. Dan Buffa is in the green room. He'll be done momentarily. Tim Woodburn has the news at 4 o'clock, and then Dan after that with movie stuff. I know the weather has been weird and unpredictable. And was it that last week? When did we hit 85 or
yeah,
something?
Yeah, I think we hit 80,
really,
one day.
Yeah.
One weird day.
And then freeze warnings the past couple nights.
Yeah, and then, you know, here we are, and all this rain we had today, it's 60 right now, my goodness, it's almost 70 tomorrow, 67, 68 tomorrow, and then you drop back down in the 30s, it's all over the place, and it's, It's not the kind of weather that Mathena Heating and Cooling likes because it's not drastic enough either way, cold or hot, for people to go insane and nuts if the system's not working right. But that's coming. Now, you can do two things. You can wait and then call the same time everybody else is calling Mathena when they're just booked solid. They'll get to you. They'll get to you as quickly as anybody can get to you. Or you can do this. You could call them now and say, I just want to make sure this system is ready. Just check it out. And they will, and it won't be that expensive because they're fair. And at least you'll feel great when they walk away going, you're good to go. As soon as it hits 100 degrees, I think your system will handle it just fine. Remember that. It might not be a bad idea. Mathena Heating and Cooling. You just need to be in St. Louis or St. Charles County, and no business or residence is too large or too small. 76 years in business, probably soon to be 77 years in business, and they work on everything.